You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I have no clue who
I am. It is a little different, but when
you are,
when
you even look different.
That can only mean one thing.
Jeff Lutz.
There's Elvis for you. Oh, I'm going to pass out. That was so funny.
You are not cool.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here?
Hello, everyone. Here we are. It's a Wednesday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting, Max Power, producing and engineering. What do we have for today?
I assume. I don't know. You tell me what we have today.
We've got Josh Furlong.
Never heard of him.
Coming on to talk about Utah football here shortly at about 2:25. As we continue with Big 12 football previews. That's what we're doing here.
How many do we have left after Josh? KU and
K-State? We've got Arizona later in the week, KU and Kansas.
Have we done Arizona State?
Josh from KSL Sports out in Salt Lake City, so he'll join us at 2:25. 2:45, Mike Furchus on to talk pop culture, and then in hour number two, Kelly Rankin, who is going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October, and he's got a very interesting story. A longtime official and a starter in track and field in two Olympic Games.
Good stuff.
I find that to be very interesting.
You didn't answer my question, though.
I didn't, Jeff, I'm going to be honest with you.
Well,
I didn't hear your
question.
That's
on you if you don't want to listen and hear the other person on the microphone.
I was busy doing something. I didn't hear your question.
I said, have we done Arizona State?
Yes, we have.
I don't remember that, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I remember them all. We've done them all.
Who do we have on from Arizona State?
A young woman.
Okay.
Why don't you remember anything?
I don't remember that.
Well, what am I supposed to do with that? Why do I care if you remember it?
I'm not asking you to care. just telling you. It's not necessarily for a reaction.
No, you're trying to point out what you're trying to do. The ulterior motive there is, you know, did you forget Arizona State?
No, I didn't. I don't remember that we had Arizona State.
Just take it for granted that I've got
them. Why don't you hear what I am saying instead of what you think I'm saying? I don't remember. That's all.
Well, that's not on me that you remember.
Again, not making it on you. The only thing that I'm saying,
Michelle Gardner
is that I don't
was
remember.
On August the 8th to talk about Arizona State.
Okay.
From the Arizona Republic.
Awesome.
So we covered them.
Excellent.
The only four we have left are Utah, Arizona, Kansas, and Kansas State. We've done 12 Big 12 football previews.
Beautiful.
What do you have to say for yourself today?
I don't have anything to say for myself.
You won
myself.
A game last night. It must have been atrocious to watch.
I didn't watch it. I told you I wasn't going to watch it, and I didn't.
Well, I'm sure you got in when it went to extra innings.
Nope.
So you're done with it.
Didn't watch a second of that game. Needed the cleanser, needed the break, needed the palate cleanser.
So you're back at it tonight.
Maybe. I don't really need to see Joey Cantillo give up 5 runs in 3 1/3 innings, but we'll see.
Well, the Royals lost one. You gained a game.
Twins lost two.
Twins are, I keep telling you, nobody wants anything to do with the Padres right now. They're that team.
They've seemingly come together. They're playing very well.
And they're coming to St. Louis for 4. They'll bury the Cardinals. Well, the Cardinals...
That'll be like taking Ole Yeller out back, though. Just put them out of the misery.
Well, why don't they put the Cardinals out of their misery? Why don't they just move on?
That's probably what's going to happen. I don't see any other scenario. You don't want to split. That just does nothing.
No, I'm talking about moving on from this current regime.
That's not for me to decide. It seems like you really want that badly. I don't know if
Bernie Miklas has moved into that realm now.
What is he saying?
He's on them every day. He's got a new YouTube video channel that he does a daily.
How long are these videos? 15 minutes?
15 minutes.
I've not watched one, so that was a good guess.
Well, why would you watch? It's a Cardinals.
It's about baseball.
It's a Cardinals video.
I like seeing what's going on with other teams, too, occasionally.
Yeah, but I'm not sitting here. I would never watch a Guardians video.
Really?
No, don't
Why
care.
Why not?
Could not care less.
Well, I care a little bit about the
watch
Cardinals.
Any other team's beat writer talk about that.
Really?
Team.
I find.
No, because I don't care.
I don't care what they do in the standings or if they win or they lose other teams, but I like knowing what's going on with their franchises.
I know plenty about what's going on with franchises.
Obviously not. You just know the wins and losses.
Without spending 15 minutes listening to some guy talk about the Angels.
What's going on in the Tigers franchise?
They brought up a bunch of young guys.
But what's going on? Why'd they do that?
There's a youth movement in Detroit. They feel good about where they are with their young players. They cast aside.
It's a white flag is what that is.
Right. They know they're not going to the playoffs.
This year, next year. Because they were trying for a while.
Well, sure they were.
And
they have a chance to be good relatively soon.
They see the outlook in this division with 3 teams that are good and young, and they see no hope. And that's the way they should see it.
No, they see hope.
They shouldn't.
They should. They'll be better than Cleveland next year.
No, they won't. I mean, there's no planet.
Well, I'm sorry to break that news to you, but as you know, I'm rarely wrong about
you
this
just, stuff. Every time you say that's the only prediction you ever make is somebody will be better than Cleveland. That's the only thing.
I make a lot of predictions.
No, it isn't. No, you don't.
White Sox won't be better than Cleveland.
Neither will Detroit.
Year.
There's no planet on which that could happen.
I think Detroit will be.
The scenario does not exist.
Well, I told you the Royals would be better.
And they're not.
And they're right there.
And they've been chasing Cleveland all year.
They've got 7 games left. 4 in Cleveland, 3 in Kansas City, and they all happen here relatively soon. Next weekend is the 4-game series in Cleveland.
Good, won't mean anything.
The following weekend is the 3-game series in Kansas City, and at the end of that, so by early Labor Day, we'll have a very good idea of, can the Royals, in fact, catch Cleveland?
Okay, but Detroit can. I don't really care what you think about the Royals. I follow this division. Detroit does not have a chance to be better than Cleveland next year.
Well, don't get defensive about it. I always think that's
unless they bring in Shohei, Freddie Freeman, and Mookie Betts in some trade.
I always think that's a relatively bleak sign when you get so defensive.
Well, when you're that wrong, I don't know how else to get.
You just say, I think you're wrong, Dad, and we move on. You don't need to get angry.
I don't think you're wrong.
That gives my argument credibility.
I don't think you're wrong.
Well, what then?
I know you're wrong.
See, there it is. Instant credibility.
You're not a very good arguer.
When I can get under your skin that easily.
But that's not a good argument style. That's just bullying.
I like what Detroit's doing. I like some of the things they're doing.
I don't know what they're doing.
They've got a pitcher to build around and Scooble. They have
that this year.
They got another young pitcher. What's that guy's name?
Don't know.
Jung.
He's not a pitcher.
No, they got a guy. Okay.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. I don't know why. Why do you resist me?
Jace Jung is a position player that they just called up. He's Josh Jung's brother, J-U-N-G. And that's what they're doing. They're grasping at straws.
Well, then he could be pretty good, right?
I guess.
They have good prospects.
Okay. We have the fourth best farm system in baseball. And you know one of the teams ahead of us? Not Detroit.
I like them.
And we already have the youngest team in baseball.
You have the fourth ranked system in baseball according to who?
MLB.com.
I must have missed that.
It's all right.
Oh, Jackson Jobe is the pitcher I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's not going to be ready for next year, I don't think, is he? He's pretty young.
Set to arrive in 25. As the calendar would indicate to me, that's next year.
We'll see.
But he throws 100 miles an hour, as if pretty much everybody does now. So we'll see.
Good luck to him.
We'll see how they do.
Fourth.
What?
Fourth. They'll do fourth.
Now you're picking on poor Detroit. That's all you got.
I'm telling you the landscape of the division. Kansas City is good and young. Minnesota is good and young. Cleveland.
Top 10 prospects in baseball, according to the aforementioned MLB.com. Number 7, Max Clark, a Tigers outfielder, young, won't be in the big leagues for a bit. And number 8, Jackson Jobe, who we just talked about. So they have the 7th and 8th ranked prospects. They've got number 33. So they're okay.
All right. Good luck.
They've got number 61. They've got number 64. That's 5. That's 5.
Guardians have 6.
Do they really?
Yes.
What's their highest rated guy? Travis Bazzana, just drafted.
DeLauder's up there. Manzardo's up there. Churio's up there. Velasquez is up there.
Yeah, first baseman's still ranked high? Boy, he's a...
Yes.
He's a bust waiting to happen.
No, he's not. He's having a good year in AAA. 900 OPS. I don't.
You know the last guy to go in the Hall of Fame having a good year in AAA?
Pretty much all of them?
Never. Never happened.
No Hall of Famer had a...
Nobody ever accepted his Hall of Fame plaque by saying, I just tore it up.
You know what you just did? You gave my argument credibility by saying you're evaluating him based on the Hall of Fame. That's already pretty good. If he ends up in the Hall of Fame, great. If he doesn't, I'm sure he'll have a productive
career. We'll see how he does. Right now, I have no faith in anybody doing anything in my organization.
Well, you're just bitter.
So what? I can be bitter.
Sure, but don't transfer that bitterness.
And yesterday you were wholly bitter.
I was. And probably
now they won a game and you feel better about life.
And I probably will be bitter tomorrow. This is just how it works.
Well, don't come in here with such inconsistency.
I might be bitter at 7 o'clock tonight. You can text me and check in.
I don't text you.
Well, do.
About baseball. I never say, oh, what happened to your team? I'm not that guy.
I know. My friend Fred is.
Why does he do that?
I don't know.
And is he your friend, really, if
he's my friend.
Who's Fred?
Fred's the guy who works at Riverfront with me.
And he's texting you about...
And he does baseball tours, and he goes on buses and sets things up, and he's a tour guide.
What do you say back to Fred?
And he went to the Brewers-Guardians game over the weekend and texted me, Brewers win, and I'm rooting for the Brewers.
How do you handle that?
I told him that's not good. That's not what we do, Fred.
And did Fred respect your wishes?
No.
So he kept texting?
Well, he tried to placate me, and it just didn't work out. I didn't like it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I love Fred, but come on.
Well, that rises above everything if you love the guy. You have a little fun with this stuff.
Oh, we do.
All right, tomorrow night we are having a draft, our Bob and Jeff fantasy draft. We're set to go. I've got everybody's email, and I'm going to send that on to Virgil. We never heard back from Tom.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm moving on from Tom.
Tom.
With regret, he had, what's today, Wednesday? He had Monday, Tuesday, and today to get to reach out. I sent him a text. I asked him for his email address, and I've gotten nothing. So I've got a guy to plug in there.
All right. Hope Tom doesn't show up. And we have a mess on our hands like we did last year.
Here's what I'll say. Tom, you didn't get back to me. I'm sorry. I'll buy you dinner, but you're not going to be in the fantasy draft.
Poor guy.
I'm not buying dinner for everyone at the draft.
Anybody?
No. And that's a plea by you. do you even have a wallet?
Yeah, it's right over there.
Because I've honestly never seen it.
Yeah, you have. It's right there.
I've never seen it that... You've had that for 20 years.
It's been a while.
There's
not
never
quite
been
20.
There's never been
a
bill that's come out of that wallet.
I don't carry a lot of cash very often.
Actually, you have bought some barbecue for us.
Yeah.
At certain times throughout history.
We are very charitable people.
We appreciate that. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to preview Utah football next with Josh Furlong. Utes probably the consensus favorite to win the Big 12. We'll see if Josh concurs. This is the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
On the hotline, Josh Furlong, to preview Utah football. Hello, Josh.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing well. We're knee-deep into these football previews. They've been extremely informative, and one thing we've learned, as if we didn't know already, it's hard to say who's going to win the Big 12. I would think that Utah would be the favorite. Do you think they are, and why?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have as good a chance as anybody. I think they have a ton of talent coming back on offense and on defense. This is a team that really loaded up on offense through the transfer portal, and they get their quarterback back that got them to two Pac-12 championships, won it, got them to the Rose Bowl. So they feel very confident that they can be that type of team to be in that mix. So, it's a new conference, so it'll be interesting to see how this all works out for them. And I think there's some nuances there, but talent wise, at least on paper, there's, Utah has to be in the mix. And I think they're as good a pick as any, but, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Kansas, any other of these teams could absolutely take that championship as well.
You mentioned their quarterback. That's, of course, Cameron Rising. We heard a lot last year that he might be back last year at some point, but it didn't happen. So how's his health, and ultimately what difference does he make in that offense?
Yeah, Cam is one of those guys that he just kind of brings that confidence to the team. Years ago when he was inserted as the starter, there was just a complete visual representation, just like the team rallied around him. He's got their back, he talks them up, and he's just really able to do whatever they want and help him. But more importantly, on the field, he understands what defenses are going to do. Like he sees it. He absolutely is kind of like a coach in that respect. And I see a coaching career for him if he wants it. But this is a guy that just gives confidence more than anything. He's confident while being humble. He knows what to do. He's going to make his mistakes. He's not going to be the most talented quarterback out there. There's going to be better guys out there. But this is a guy that knows what he's doing and is able to help in whatever capacity. So he's, by all accounts, he's healthy. I'm sure there's little things of just having injuries that'll kind of plague him or whatever that may be. But this is a guy that's coming in healthy and confident and ready to go and attack it in the way that he has the last few years when he was the starting quarterback for Utah.
Talking with Josh Furlong from at KSL.com Sports. You can follow him on Twitter. He's been covering Utah athletics for how long now, Josh?
I started about 2011, if I remember right.
Okay. Well, there was some talk early on when when college football realigned and Utah landed in the Big 12 that Utah fans weren't thrilled with that. Have they come around? Are they more content now knowing a little bit more about the Big 12? What's the general feeling of the populace there?
Yeah, I think, talking to the fans and seeing how they react on Twitter and stuff, I think fans are excited. I think the Big 12 gives them a great landing spot for them to really do what they want to do, right? And that's get to the playoffs. They want to be able to have a chance to get to those championship games or playoff games, those meaningful games. And there's no better place for Utah than the Big 12, right? I know there's a subset of the fans that are disappointed that Utah's not in the Big 10 or maybe some other destination, just because I think for them, looking at the academics in terms of AAU associations, they feel like maybe they align more with the Big 10 and the type of football that they play. But personally, for me, I think it's a perfect fit for Utah. They come in, they can be competitive. They've got some good teams to face every single week. It is different. I think some fans, they miss playing the USC. They miss playing Oregon, Washington, those types of teams that have a storied history. But I think there's a lot of excitement for the type of football that the Big 12 brings in terms of, you know, the fan support. In the Pac-12, there always wasn't that fan support. You know, you might go to some stadiums like in Oregon and Washington where fans show out, but by and large, it's kind of a lackluster showing for many of these programs. And so I think there's an excitement to go to tailgates. There's an excitement to see these teams and ultimately just to compete on a weekly basis with teams that they feel like they can stack up next to.
What was the balance for Coach Kyle Whittingham in wanting to dip into the transfer portal to kind of fix the offense and just waiting for the pieces who were injured last year? I know he wasn't going to go get a quarterback in the transfer portal, and he did get some players out of there to help the offense, but was it mostly just about waiting for injured players to return more than it was going outside for help?
Yeah, there's a bit of balancing act there, like you mentioned. And I think, you know, he varies based on, you know, how he wants to go with the recruiting classes, transfer portals, or just kind of let it sit out. For him, it's always been one of those things where if there's an available player that they love, they don't really care, you know, if they've got depth there or whatever that case may be. You can kind of look at the defensive line. Utah's been pretty loaded on the defensive line, especially defensive end. And then they went and got, you know, 2-3 starting caliber guys in the portal. So if there's guys that they feel like they that can help them eventually, they're going to take them. But yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, they trust their depth. They believe in their depth. This is something that Kyle has preached tremendously about, wanting to get the depth that they need. He saw what it took coming into the Pac-12 and how they didn't have that depth. And so whether that's the transfer portal, recruiting, or whatever the case may be, he's going to do whatever he can to feel confident in his depth. And so I think you see that with some of the places. You know, wide receiver, for example, was a huge area of concern for them. They wanted to get better there. They wanted to be more dynamic. They wanted to give Cam Rising some more assets to throw to. And so they went heavily into the transfer portal there. So it, like I said, it's a balancing act. I don't know that there's one exact thing that he says, okay, we're going to set aside this many players for this and this for that. But I think they just look at it on a case by case basis and try to do whatever they can to upgrade their roster.
Utah opens the season on the 29th. So a week from tomorrow at home against Southern Utah. We're talking Utah football with Josh Furlong. They've added some pieces to the offense. Of course, getting the quarterback back is a huge part of that. But this team has always prided itself on defense. And in this day and age of college football, I respect that quite a bit. How have they kept defense at kind of the top of the ledger for as long as Kyle Whittingham has?
It's just kind of been written into the style that Kyle Whittingham has preached there, right? I think, you know, he came from a long line of defensive coaches. His dad coached defensively. His dad was actually the defensive coordinator at Utah and then brought him, Kyle, on as an assistant coach. And then eventually Kyle took it on as a defensive coordinator. And so it's just something that they know. I think they feel like they have a really good handle on that, and they've been very successful in being able to identify talent. You know, a lot of times it's been a lot of these early on, it was 2-star guys. Now it's 3-star guys, and now 4-star guys, where they've been able to identify these guys and get them to the level where they need to be. There's several players on this defense that used to play on offense. They see that they have some versatility, then some skill sets that might translate on the defensive side of the ball better. And then they maximize it, right? They demand a lot. They push these guys. It's not an easy system to be a part of, but the players that succeed, they come out having a tremendous amount of knowledge and set themselves up very well for potentially an NFL career. So it's just kind of something that they hang their hat on. It's always something that they've preached. Morgan Scally, who used to play for Kyle Whittingham, is now their defensive coordinator. He's been there for, I think 12 years, if I can remember right. You know, he's the head coach in waiting. He has that same philosophy and style. And so it just kind of has carried on for generations. And, you know, it's just kind of who Utah is in terms of how their culture is set up, especially with the Polynesian pipeline and just how that defensive unit works.
It's funny because Arizona and K-State play in a non-conference game, and that's, I guess, part of the interesting thing about realignment is some of these non-conference games are now conference games, and the other one in the Big 12 is Utah against Baylor week two. Is that just another game on the schedule for Utah, or are they kind of looking that as a, as an early preview of what life in the Big 12 will be like?
Yeah, I think they definitely use that as kind of a gauging point for where Utah can be. Obviously, Baylor isn't probably the team that is going to be the toughest one that, that Utah's going to face, or at least they might not be. But I think, you know, they're taking this very seriously, right? You know, even though it's considered as a non-conference game, they're going to treat it very much so like a conference game. You know, you don't want to lose any of those games, and you don't want to be in a position where other Big 12 teams can kind of take that that ownership and pride away from you. So, yeah, they start with an FCS opponent and then get Baylor, and that's going to have their attention, right? They played them last year in Waco. So they got a sense of it, but it was with a Utah team that, that didn't have its full complement of players. And so I think they feel confident in this. But it definitely will be a gauging point for where Utah thinks they can be in the Big 12 and kind of how that, that stacks up compared to some of these other teams that they're going to face.
All right, Josh, we really appreciate your expertise on the Utah Utes. I'm bummed out neither Kansas nor Kansas State will be playing Utah in this inaugural year for the Utes. I don't know if I'm going to have to get used to this unbalanced schedule, even though some of that existed last year. How do you feel about that? It's as if the college football playoff is going to have even more meaning. Do you like the unbalanced schedule? Do you like not knowing who Utah is going to play from year to year?
Yeah, I don't love it, to be honest. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people complained about the Pac-12 having a 9 conference schedule, but I think by and large, you were playing most of the teams that, that were going to matter, right? There might be an off year where you missed a team and, you know, you obviously can't schedule every opponent, but, you know, like you said, looking at this year, I mean, you've got Utah not playing Kansas or Kansas State, two teams that are absolutely going to be in the mix. And we don't even know how well they can do against each other, right? Like Utah will play Oklahoma State, and so that'll be a good testing point for them. But it's going to be an interesting situation of, you know, Utah may, let's say Kansas State is the other team that lines up with Utah at the end. They've never played each other, or they might miss each other, and we don't really know how they're going to battle it out. So I wish there was a way that you could kind of get it better, but I also understand there's just no way in this age where you can get every game to matter, or that you line up with that. But I think it's fun.
Well, we'll get maybe Utah and K-State or Kansas in the Big 12 championship game. That's probably on the table. Thank you, Josh. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
Josh Furlong from KSL.com Sports talking Utah football. Never thought I'd be interviewing somebody about Utah football as part of a Big 12 preview, but here we are.
And next up, Arizona State.
No, Arizona.
Yeah.
Do you have any memory left?
I know. I was messing with you, and I hooked you.
I mean, it's alarming.
Is it?
I'm alarmed. That's how I feel about it.
Meh.
Mike Furchus joins us. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Jeff. How you guys doing today?
We're doing okay. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I got a guy that's going to be calling in. His stage name is Rocket Star. So things are going good. I'm looking forward to this interview. I've been following his stuff on Facebook and other places, and so been doing that and listening to his music and watching his DVD and going to a few movies as well. So it's a social world out there.
So, Max, I think we have this person on the line, correct? Mike, would you go ahead and start us off?
Yeah. Rocket Star, stage name, I guess, I'm assuming, became familiar with this material on Facebook, and he had taken like 13 years to create this animated rock opera, and he like plays everything on it. He drew it. It's an amazing effort of love, in my opinion. So here he is, Rocket Star.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Tell us, Rocket Star, tell us about this venture that took you so long to do. Mike has just raved about it. Tell us what's going on. How did this all come about?
Yeah, I'm glad he loved it, because I think he actually asked me to do this before he
completely saw it. So what I was telling him, it would have been terrible if he was like, I know I booked this guy, but this movie is awful. So I'm glad he liked it. It's a labor of love. It's called Rocket Stars, Death of a Rock Star. And as Mike said, it took me 13 years to do it. I wrote the movie. I wrote all the songs, 26-song soundtrack. I orchestrated it. It's all live orchestrations. I played all the guitar, bass, piano, sang everything but the female leads. And then, as if that wasn't enough for me to say, Con, I animated the entire film over 8 years with no previous animation experience. So, yeah, that's basically the gist of it.
Man, that's crazy. How did you stick with this project for that long? I'd give up after a week if it just basically in anything. But you saw this through to the very end. What else was going on in your life at the time, and what kept you focused?
I mean, you know, that's kind of like the million-dollar question people always ask, and I just kind of think it was just sheer will and determination. You know, I've started several projects in the past or different bands and stuff, and, you know, they always break up or you go on to something else. But for some reason with this, it just felt right for me to, I just had to finish it. I felt compelled to tell this story and to put this music out, and nothing was going to stop me. So yeah, I guess it was just sort of a belief in myself or the project, you know. That just makes you want to keep doing something come hell or high water.
One of the things I've appreciated about it is the 80s rock feel. I'm thinking of, you know, bands like Poison and Wasp and others. Certainly, there's definitely some orchestrated parts where it reminds me a lot of ELO, and you know how much I love them. The influences, I mean, what was your attempt and why this particular style of music did you go with?
You know, it's interesting that you mention the 80s kind of thing, because I think it's got more of a 70s vibe personally. And I love Wasp. They're awesome. Blackie Lawless is great. And, you know, I'm a big Guns N' Roses guy, so I love 80s stuff. But I was definitely going for, you know, more of a 70s thing. Like you said, ELO, the influence. Queen is a huge influence. Bowie, T-Rex, Zeppelin, you know, the whole gamut. And it's just the music that I came up on that brought me into rock and roll, you know, when I got into music. You know, everything from the Beatles, who are my absolute number one heroes, you know, all the way down to Guns N' Roses. It's really just what's become a part of me over the years of learning how to write music and writing different styles of music. So, of course, when I came down to me making the opera, I was going to throw all of that into the mix, you know, because an opera, a rock opera or anything like that is the perfect venue to have a bunch of different styles of music in it. You know, you don't have to have like a one record like AC/DC's Back in Black where it's all the same style, you know, which is great, but it allows you to stretch your wings a little more.
Talking with Rocket Star, Death of a Rock Star, the animated movie that he's put out after 13 years of working on this. Tell us about your background. How you got started, how music became an integral part of your life.
You know, I'm 51, so it's a long story, so I'll try to make it short. But, you know, I came up on, when I was very young, you know, my father was a dancer, so that's probably where the theatrical sense of things comes from, hearing Broadway tunes and stuff when I was a kid. The 80s, I got into kind of like, you know, more top 40 sort of stuff in the mid 80s. And then it was really, you know, Queen and then mainly Guns N' Roses that really blew the lid off me when they exploded in the late 80s, that made me want to pick up the guitar. I had played piano since I was a kid, but, you know, never got too good at it. But that was just like, you know, oh my gosh, I want to do this kind of stuff. And then you really just explore all of music after that, you know, right? I'm sure, you know, most of us who are into rock and roll had this same experience. And I always ask this of my email list, that people who buy my movie end up being on, is like, you know, what rock and roll moment made you? Because something like that happens, and then you kind of explore music further. You want to know the influences of that band, and, you know, you listen to classic rock radio or whatever, and you get more into, you know, Led Zeppelin and The Who and The Stones and the different eras of music. And, you know, that's the kind of benefit of, you know, being, you know, in the last 20, 30 years is that you can explore all of this music and really let it influence you and find what you love the most. So, you know, and then getting into bands over the years, you know, after that happened, I started putting bands together and then moved away and tried to pursue music and put a bunch of different types of bands together and played solo. And, you know, eventually it just led to doing this movie kind of, you know, when I realized that I was putting so much money and effort into a show that I was doing with a string quartet and all that stuff, that I figured I might as well put into something for posterity, you know, something that it doesn't have just last one night. Because when you're an indie artist, you don't have obviously endless amounts of money to be spending $1,000 on a show each night. So I just figured, well, let me really do something kind of for the ages, so to speak.
How do people find this movie, and who do you want to find this movie? I'm sure that you want as many people as possible to see it, but who's kind of the target audience? Who do you think will be affected and struck mostly by this?
You know, obviously I want everyone to see it, but it's such a unique kind of thing that it's very niche, very cult classic type of movie. You know, kind of anywhere between Rocky Horror Picture Show and Yellow Submarine mixed with Jesus Christ Superstar and Tommy, really. That's kind of, I mean, you put those all in a pot and you stir it up and that's kind of my movie. So I assumed the audience for it was people around my age or Mike's age, you know, people 45 and older, you know, we're into that era. But I'm finding one of the beauties of advertising for on Facebook like I do, I'm finding a lot of young people are into this. People between like 18 and 25, they love classic rock and roll too. You know, obviously not all of them, but I'm finding that that's a large part of the fan base. So, you know, I'm advertising to them a lot too. And if you don't see one of the ads out there on Facebook or Instagram, you could always go to my web store. It's if I'm allowed to say this, it's www.deathofarockstore.com. And you can buy it on Blu-ray or DVD or the CD soundtrack or, you know, the T-shirts or whatever, you know. So that's basically what I do. I believe in physical media. Digital is great. That's an awesome venue. But as an artist trying to build a fan base, I find that putting product into people's hands, the tangible thing, people respond to better. They value it more. And so that's been what's really kind of making it. That's how Mike found out about it, by going that route.
One of the things that impresses me about it is again, musically it impresses me. But one of the things I've always loved about rock is that it pushed the boundaries and was not afraid to address certain political agendas and issues. And you certainly have that type of thing thrown in and out of the movie. I mean, your thoughts on that and the media and the way that rock and roll can have an impact on society.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely think it can. You know, I'm not a political artist, but when I put this movie together, of course, I wanted to put as much as I could of me into it. And I do happen to be a very libertarian person. I'm very into free speech and liberty and stuff like that. You know, I'm not on the right side of the spectrum or the left side of the spectrum. And I wanted to make sure that the movie was fun overall. So no matter what you're into, or even if you disagree with any of the political ideas in the movie, you could just ignore that and have a good time with the sounds and the colors. And it's largely a love story and a love letter to rock and roll. But yeah, I feel like the messages in it, I feel like they're very timeless. As far as the, you know, some of the political messages that it's talking about. I mean, I started working on this during the Bush administration, and yet these issues that I bring up in it, they're still relevant today. So, you know, it's I feel like it's a very, very generalized message. It's not saying anything, you know, it offends both sides. I find that from people are like, yeah, I agree with this, but I didn't agree with that. And I find that from people, everybody who's coming into it are from all over the spectrum politically that are enjoying the movie and getting something out of it on that end or not even on that end. So, yeah, that's how I kind of feel about it. I'm not a political artist, but obviously those messages are there in the movie because I am an artist and it's just going to come out of you.
Final moments here with Rocket Star. He's got a new movie out called Death of a Rock Star. It's animated. It took him 13 years to finish. So you mentioned that you've covered several political spectrums. You've also covered several musical spectrums and technology spectrums. Technology's really exploded in these 13 years that you've been working on this movie. Where are we headed technology-wise with music and AI and everything that's coming onto the scene now? What do you predict?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, like, as you say, technology has advanced so much even since I started that over the course of animating it, by the end, I had to go back and redo like almost the first half of the movie because the program got so much more advanced. I was able to make it look so much better over just that period of time. And the AI stuff, you know, I'm one of the people who I'm not anti-AI. That's just another technology, and it's just how the world is heading. You know, I am into human achievement, but I also think AI is a pretty amazing tool. And if that's what people want to use for, you know, their music or whatever, well, that's fine. Be honest about it. Say that's what you use, that you didn't actually do this thing yourself. And I always feel like bring it on. I will compete and I'll do better. But it's an amazing tool. I actually put out a CD, self-titled CD last March, where I use AI for the cover because I wanted to see how it would work. I used the Midjourney program, and I was really happy with the cover that came out of it. It's not something I plan on doing a whole lot with, but I wanted to try it out because that's just where the world is heading. There's nothing you can do about it. If you're just going to fight it, you're just going to frustrate the heck out of yourself. So either you just do what you do and compete, or you utilize it in different ways, you know? I mean, you know, like you just said, I couldn't have done what I did now without modern technology. I couldn't have animated a whole movie or recorded, you know, I did the orchestrations and piano and drums in a studio, but I did all the guitars and singing and stuff like that at home on my computer. I couldn't have afforded all that studio time. This was the 80s or, you know, even the, most of the 90s. This just couldn't have happened. So it would be pretty hypocritical of me to now go, oh, yes, this technology was fine. That put a bunch of engineers and studios out of work, but I'm against AI because that'll put this out of work, or, you know, that would be pretty hypocritical of me to say. So, you know, let it be what it's going to be, you know, and we'll see where it goes. I think the future's bright.
Well, it's been fascinating visiting with you, and we appreciate you coming on the show to talk about your new movie and talk about yourself and give us an idea about what you do and how you do it. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you, Mike, for inviting me on, too.
More than welcome. Enjoyed it.
There you go. Thank you.
Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Bye-bye. You bet. We'll ask Mike to hang on through the break. Join us for a little bit in hour number two. We'll be back with hour number two of the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
Are you ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What? The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
This is my job.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
How do I turn the dial on the show I'm on? I feel like I got nowhere to go.
Truth be told, a majority of the American people would ultimately empathize with our situation.
Jeff Lutz.
The reason there's weaklings is because there's no stronglings.
Nature versus nurture. Nature always wins.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Everything you need to make it happen.
All right, welcome back. We are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio, 869-1240. That's the hotline sponsored by IHOP, where you can get all-you-can-eat pancakes through September 15th. Mike Furches has hung around. Mike, how's your week going?
It's going pretty good. The same old. Go to the doctor, so you find out something. It's wrong or right, and you keep on going on. So, but it's so far it's been a good week.
Yeah, we got no choice. We got to keep plugging away. Fortunately,
Jeff will see those days eventually.
I doubt it.
He's kind of snickering right now. Like, what are these two old guys?
Not really. You know, if I make it that far, I'm sure I'll experience the same things.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever.
Don't hurt yourself.
Will you experience the inability to grab a phone?
Just let me ask the first question to Mike, because I don't know if you've watched either of the documentaries, Mike, but I've watched both documentaries that were released over the past week on Scott and Lacey Peterson. And
both? I thought there was only the Netflix.
There's one on Peacock, too, where they talk to Scott Peterson. And it's kind of an embarrassing display of everything. But has that case in particular fascinated you at all over the years? And in general, where do you stand on true crime documentaries and shows like Dateline and everything like that?
Well, that case in particular did not really interest me until I saw the documentary. And it makes a compelling case for Scott Peterson to some extent. So, as
which one are you talking about?
The one that was on the Netflix one. I don't think I've seen the one on Peacock yet. So, but I mean, it's a fascinating crime. As far as true crime stories goes, I love them. I mean, it's one of the things that my wife and I, we both enjoy those types of programs and actually watch quite a bit of them, whether it be FBI or unsolved murders or, you know, things of that nature. We actually watch a lot of those types of things. And I enjoy movies of that nature as well. So,
interesting that you mention it makes somewhat of a compelling case for Scott Peterson, because I could see that way of thinking. But the only reason it's a compelling case in favor of Scott Peterson is because they have no video, no physical evidence. Everything else indicated that he was, of course, the guilty party. Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. But it's one of the things I have with Netflix as well, though. Netflix has a history of not getting things exactly right. And we're seeing that with the current movie that's out right now with Baby Reindeer, that not everything they got right with that. Murder, Making of a Murderer, not everything they got right on there. And so I hate to say it this way, and it doesn't bother me so much, but you know, I wonder if Netflix is driven more by the profit margin than they are the accuracy of the story. So, because the documentary on Netflix was definitely written in favor of Scott Peterson.
Well, if you think that was in favor of Scott Peterson, then I would love to get your opinion on the Peacock one, because that was basically a PR piece for Scott Peterson. One documentary you can skip, Mike, however, is Untold about Steve McNair. Just horrific. Thought it was going to go somewhere, and over an hour, it just never did. It just never went anywhere.
And I like Steve McNair. That's one of the shows I would have probably been interested in watching. So,
but we didn't get to know him at all. They showed some of his football highlights, and we never got to hear old interviews or anybody who kind of knew him that well that spoke highly of his character. It's just his best friend that had a falling out and his football coach. It was just so poorly done. Can't even imagine.
Yeah, and I love that's good all. Documentaries. There could be some bad.
Yeah, go ahead.
Morgan Spurlock is a guy. Morgan Spurlock, he did Super Size Me. I tend to really enjoy his documentaries, and I've enjoyed in the past Roger Moore's documentaries. But I think as of recent, he's gone off the deep end a little bit. But Morgan Spurlock.
Did you know that Moreland Spurlock is no longer with us?
No, I did not know that. That's news to me.
Yeah, he died a few weeks ago, I think. Go ahead, Bob.
All right, let's get back to some kind of semblance of pop culture with Mike Furtis.
We're talking movies and documentaries. What do you want from us?
Mike, I've been reading. Of course, I haven't gone to see the movie because, lo and behold, that shouldn't shock anyone. But I've been reading a lot of opinions about It Ends With Us. Some people saying that the trauma of watching the movie made it almost impossible. Thoughts?
I've not seen it yet because it does not look like an enjoyable movie. And it's the type of movie that I can see where people are saying that. I've not seen it yet. I've got a short list of things to do right now. And I probably won't see it unless I watch it on streaming, unless they quit putting out movies. But it seems like there's a good movie or two every week that's coming out. But It Ends With Us, it's getting some mixed reviews, but just from the trailers themselves, it looked to me like it'd be something that would be kind of conflicting, difficult to deal with, that type of thing. So,
where are you at?
I'm reluctant.
I never know when you're done talking, Mike. Where are you at?
I do. I read him like a...
Here's Mike. And one thing I really liked about it was the script and the characters.
You don't have to take that, Mike.
You know what, Bob? I got a T-shirt from the Guardians. I'm going to give you the burn.
Mike, where do you stand on the pushback against art because of some political issue or some people might take it the wrong way? I guess I'm getting old because I'm starting to see both sides more of that kind of argument. It's art. You consume it how you, based on your own life experiences, and I think that's how it's meant to be, right?
Yeah, I think so. I really have a hard time with people that try to limit or censor any type of art, no matter what that art is. A lot of people don't know this about me. I love art. Probably one of the most emotional experiences I've ever seen or gone through is getting to see Van Gogh's Irises. Because of my work in the past in mental health and my appreciation for Van Gogh and his story, I literally, in the Getty Museum in L.A., I literally stood there and just cried and cried and cried when I saw that piece of art. So I really appreciate art, but like you said, if art doesn't, there are certain factions of art that if it does not drive our emotional sense, it's not being very successful. And if it offends you, just don't look at it or think about it, but don't try to limit people's expression in whatever art form that is that they're trying to express.
Mike Furches with us as we spend a few minutes talking about pop culture. So the big hit movie of the summer has been Deadpool and Wolverine with Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, and that's kind of a can't miss combination. How good is the movie in your opinion?
I loved it, but I went off on a rant about it. It's rated R, okay? Comic books in their origins were adult-oriented comic books, and people like R. Crumb and others that drew comics have been around for years and years. So, but the original Batman, the original Superman, the old horror stories that they were doing, they were definitely adult in content and orientation. Wolverine and Deadpool is rated R. It's rated R for a reason. Those are not clean characters. They're not someone, you know, that, as my grandma used to say, they need to do something with that potty mouth, is how she used to say it. But I really enjoyed some of the humor. And Hugh Jackman was a surprise. You know, Ryan Reynolds, you kind of expect it. But Hugh Jackman, as Wolverine in this, is just, he's fabulous. The story is good. To me, it's that and the... there's a couple of others, but probably that's one of my most favorite movies I've seen. It's the only one I've seen so far this year that I'm willing to pay to see it again if I have to. So I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Mike, what my final question, what hope for anything is there out there, for love especially, if Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez can't make a go of it for maybe the third time coming up, do you think?
Yeah,
that poor couple's been through a lot.
Yeah, it's terrible. But we have examples like yourself, Jeff, that, you know, that's hung in there, and we hear Bob talk about his love story and his love life and, you know, how much he loves and misses Misty. And as he says that, my Bruno's up on my lap trying to lick me in the face. So we can still find it. We just have to look in the right places, whether it be cats or dogs, and sometimes just have to learn to forgive people.
All right. Well, next week when we get you on, I'm going to start to look ahead at some of the movies that we're going to be seeing the rest of the year that are being mentioned as Oscar contenders. You know, I like that. You know, those are the movies that most speak to me, and maybe that's me being a snob. I don't know, but that's kind of where I am.
Yeah. Well, the one that I would recommend for that right now is Long Legs with Nicolas Cage. And I know that he's the brunt of many, many a joke, but he's at the top of his career in that movie, and it's just fabulous in it as an actor playing a really oddball character. So I'm looking forward to those.
There's a website on Variety.com, and I enjoy reading some of the content. And they're early predictions for Best Actor are Timothy Chalamet, Coleman Domingo for a movie called Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for a movie called Conclave, Joaquin Phoenix for the Joker sequel, and Denzel Washington for Gladiator 2.
Oh, I can see that. He should be up for...
That's interesting, isn't it?
Movies he hasn't even made yet.
It is interesting. Coleman Domingo is amazing. He started out he started out on Broadway, did Tony Award stuff, and then he had an ongoing part in the Walking Dead series that really kind of shot him through the roof. And last year he was nominated for an Oscar as well. He's an up-and-coming actor, and, man, he is so good in his portrayals and what he does. And has an incredible singing voice if you ever get a chance to see one of his Tony shows. So,
hey, Mike, I heard Denzel listed among those best actors. Did I miss Tom Hanks, or was he not in? I don't know if he was not.
What does that even mean?
Mike thinks Tom Hanks is better than Denzel, and you're all insane if you think.
Well, he's not making a movie this year.
Yeah, that's my point.
At least one that's, whatever.
He hasn't been nominated for a while. Denzel nominated for everything ever.
Daniel Day-Lewis hasn't been nominated in quite a few years, but I'd still put him up against anybody as far as acting chops.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis is phenomenal. Yeah, we'll talk about all this next week, okay? I'm looking forward to it because the Joker sequel, I mean, I could barely get through the first one. Not that it wasn't a great movie, just so dark and so discomforting. And Lady Gaga's in this sequel. I think that's incredible.
Yeah. She's coming on. She's
that's the
coming
kind of stuff I
well.
Like talking about.
Yeah. Well, let's do it next week for sure.
We'll have at
I,
it.
I talk Lady Gaga all day long, too, so.
All right, Mike. Thank you as always.
Sounds good, guys.
Mike Furches with us, talking pop culture. This is the kind of stuff I enjoy.
We're not taking a break yet, are we?
We're taking one if Max wants us to.
Oh, interesting. Thought we had a guest at 3:25.
I was going to talk a little bit, but hey, we're okay.
All right.
Well, Max, stop the music. Thank you, Max.
You can do whatever he wants.
We got a couple minutes before we get to Kelly Rankin. You'll want to hear his story. He's going to the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October as an official. And a guy that was the head starter at two Olympic Games.
Impressive.
I think that's an incredible.
Yeah.
I don't care what you think.
You think I could be a starter?
From Clay Center, Kansas. No, nobody would want you to be a starter.
Just shoot a gun in the air?
You would have no idea what to do.
I do. Here's how I do it. Bang! And I'd be done. That was good. I don't care who you are. You want me to do it again? Just kind of go over exactly how I would start a race?
I am now going to just stop everything I do on this show when you make a fool of yourself.
How did I make a fool of myself?
That's what I'm going to do.
That was hilarious.
That's not hilarious.
Yes,
man,
it is.
What am I missing?
Me being funny?
Am I missing something?
That was my point was, could it be that difficult of a job? Maybe Kelly will tell us, yeah, it's really tough.
Well, that's the first thing I want to say. Yeah. Jeff, you get the first question. Ask Kelly. What's the big deal?
No, I'm not going to ask him what the big deal is.
No, ask him.
But I will frame it that way. This seems like a job that any old schmuck could do, Kel. What makes you...
The disrespect you have at times is so off-putting.
No, I'm really...
It really is.
Curious.
You're going for a cheap laugh by being disrespectful.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not even kidding now.
I'm not being disrespectful.
It irks me. It really does.
Don't be irked.
It that kind of stuff drives me nuts.
What do you think I was doing?
Being disrespectful. Well,
I want to be educated.
That's not Kel. You know, that's so disrespectful.
Oh, please. You know
it
I'm messing around.
It drives me nuts. It really does. We'll take a break.
I bet if Kelly Rankin is listening, I bet he's laughing.
He's
I bet
not
he
listening. He's in Vancouver, Washington.
I bet he doesn't take himself that seriously.
I don't care how he takes himself seriously. He deserves our respect. and we'll talk to Kelly Rankin next.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
We are joined on a hotline by Kelly Rankin, who is going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame ceremony coming up in October in Topeka, Kansas. Kelly, welcome to our show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you, really happy that you're receiving this honor. Out of Clay Center, Kansas, you were a track athlete at the University of Kansas. You were also heavily involved in officiating track and field. Tell us about that side of your story.
Well, I ran at KU under Bill Easton, and upon graduation moved to Topeka and became a teacher and did that for several years. And a close friend of mine who was the track coach at the junior high there in North Topeka at was coaching track, and so he called me one day and said, "Hey, how you ran at KU? How'd you like to start a track meet?" And I said, "Well, sure." I didn't know what to do. You just shoot the gun and you run. Well, little did I know the makings of it, but I did it and enjoyed it and continued to do it and worked up the ladder as a neophyte and worked junior highs, and then finally worked up to high school level, and then got to Washburn, And then I moved to Emporia to teach at Emporia State. And the coach there was one of the mucky mucks at the NAI level. And so he brought me in as a recall starter. And eventually I became the head starter and then traveled all over the United States for years and years doing all of the indoor and outdoor championships. And then again moved to teach at the University of Oregon. And that's the mecca of track in the United States. And worked there as a recall starter and eventually moved up to the head starter. And then that led to working with some of the biggest meets in the United States, along with traveling with the NAIA, and got selected to start the Olympic Games in Los Angeles in 1984. And again, was fortunate enough to be selected to do the 96 Games in Atlanta. So that's kind of been the journey of not knowing anything about starting, shooting the gun, although I'm wearing a hearing aid because I shoot no shells for so many years. But it was a way to give back to the sport that it gave me.
So you said initially you thought it was just you shoot the gun and they run and you didn't really know the inner workings. So what are the inner workings and how do you know if you're good at it? And how do other people know if you're good at being a starter? Because obviously you're one of the best to ever do it. What does that mean?
Well, I guess one of the big things is understanding the you've got 8, 9 of the fastest runners in the world at the starting blocks, and you better have the demeanor to be very calm and yet firm, and your commands are very, very smooth, you know, set. It's none of the yelling or jumping in. You have them jumping out of the blocks all the time. So I think it's understanding that they're fired up. They're stallions in the blocks. And you need to be the one with the calm voice that helps them to get to the set position and give them time to get set. And at that time, fire the gun. And just after, you know, like I say, you're being observed by coaches all over the country, they begin to know who is worthy of doing the big time meets and who isn't. But I think
Billy Rankin, our guest, the only American to be selected to be the head starter for 2 Olympic Games, 1984 in Los Angeles, 1986 in Atlanta. I want to talk about 96. Those 86 games. I'm sorry, 96. 90. I want to talk about those games and Michael Johnson, who just was phenomenal in those Olympics. And you have a story to tell about being a starter in a race he ran.
Yes. Of course, that particular day at that moment in time in lane 3 or lane 4, the world was watching that particular race, the 400 meters, and to watch Michael Johnson. And so I was given the chance to assignment to start that particular race. And so, you know, you're standing up on the starting starter's blocks, and you know, there's a certain time the athletes can march out. We've already marched out about 5-7 minutes before taking our position. Athletes come out, set their blocks, and everything is precise. It's timing, and that when that clock at the stadium set, it goes, if he's go at 2 o'clock, I better be firing that gun at 2 o'clock. And so you look up and you see 800,000 people, and everything is quiet. So when my voice on your mark goes, you can hear the voice all over the stadium. And I, you know, I'm thinking, Rankin, don't screw this one up. There is no room for error. But he was such a magnificent athlete and so so solid. You know, it was like you could say set, and he'd get in that set position. He'd stay there as long as you want him to be there, and when you're ready to go, he'll go on the gun. I mean, but it was quite a thrill to start him. And, of course, you were never allowed to talk to the athletes in any way to distract them. They're focused and the biggest time of their life, and you're not there to lollygag and shake hands. You just... He's there to run, and I'm there to make sure it's a fair start.
So what do you remember about your time at the University of Kansas as a sprinter? What memories kind of stick out for you there, and what drew you initially to become a runner?
Running at Clay Center, I 14 in my family tree that had gone to KU, so I didn't have much choice. I was going there and was fairly successful. I wasn't that great in high school, but I knew that I wanted to run at KU and had been in talk in connection with Coach Easton, and so he invited me to come out. And so I got to run with some greats at KU that were sprinters. Paul Williams and Charlie Tidwell and Mike Geist. There's just always been great, great sprinters at KU. And that was both indoors and outdoors. And the turf at Allen Fieldhouse at that time, this is when we were running on cinders. You know, I have scars on my legs from falling down trying to run hurdles, and those cinders really tear you up. But it was just hard earth, and running those short curves around the basketball court there, you have to really churn with that outside foot to keep it from coming in. So I tore everything in my right toe except a bone, and so that... kind of got hurt me in my sophomore year. Then my junior year, it still was bothering me, and so I went and talked to Coach, and he said, why don't you play baseball in summertime at Clay Center? Go down and see Temple. Floyd Temple was the baseball coach then, so I went down and talked to him and went out and lettered my junior year in baseball. And then my senior year, we were married and living at the Mary's dorm, and that became the end of my running career. But as I said, I was still affiliated. Physical education is always my main area, and always around sports, and that's how I ended up being at the right place at the right time.
Kelly Rankin will be inducted into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October in ceremonies in Topeka, Kansas. I'm curious... Now, one of your teammates at KU was not a sprinter, but Billy Mills, who's one of the great legends of all time in track and field. So I'd like you to address what it was like to be around him. And then secondly, I want you to talk about your career as a gymnastics official, because you did five Big Eight championships in gymnastics in the late 60s into the early 70s, too.
Yeah, Billy, still today I keep in touch with him. He lives in Sacramento, and I keep in touch with he and his wife, Pat. Running with him, he was the machine, endless running, and, you know, he miled 5,000, 10,000, and marathon, and so he was doing wonderful things while we were running together. You know, just worked out together, but when it came to actually running, he'd take off and off cross country, and, you know, I was a sprinter. I didn't do that kind of running. But he was the greatest and dearest friend, and as I said, I still keep in touch with him. And the gymnastics came about, I was a self-taught official, never did it. But I also was a physical education teacher and teaching tumbling and some apparatus. And that's how I got interested in judging gymnastics at the high school level in Topeka. And worked my way up the ladder, as it was a starting track. And Bob Lockwood, who was the gymnastics coach then, who was also a classmate of mine, we went to KU together at the same time, and he was on the gymnastics team. I just learned by watching and going to meets and sort of learning when as the kids were learning. And as far as being able to do it, I couldn't do any of that stuff. But I can teach it, and I knew what to do and the technique and everything. So I worked my way up and became the representative from KU with Bob, as I said, Lawson, Lockwood, as the head coach. So when we would go to a Big Eight meet, each school would bring a judge, so that there was no homing, as they would say, everybody being neutral, as they have to be. Then it rotated around, so there are four of us judging an event. You know, somebody from Nebraska, somebody from Oklahoma State, or wherever. So that was kind of the way I moved up there, and awful lot of very technical things to know. And I can remember we used to trampoline used to be part of the gymnastics program, and you know, if that athlete didn't hit in the middle of that tramp, if he hits to the side, he's going to be flying off of it on the other side. So there were several times that I came out of my chair and made a catch, save somebody from getting hurt. But they used to have rope climbing and flying rings and trampoline, and those were some of the old ones that way back then that they did. But those soon died by the in the past gymnastics Olympic meet that just finished in Paris. That people were able to see, you know, what events they still do in gymnastics. Don't have much men in college anymore. In fact, there's hardly any. That's mainly club. Mm-hmm. And there's still a few universities that have women's gymnastics, but it's a sport that takes a highly skilled coach knowledge, and because it's a very dangerous sport, can be, and the price of apparatus and competition against volleyball and basketball and having the right facilities that can handle it.
Well, Kelly, we really appreciate your time. You've had a fascinating career and life in sports, and maybe not in the way you'd traditionally think of it, but you've had an incredible run, and we're very happy that you're going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. Thanks for being on the show today.
Well, it's an honor to get selected, and I appreciate getting to visit with you and telling people what I used to do, and try to recruit new officials. We always can use officials.
And currently you live in Vancouver, Washington, so good for you, and thanks again, Kelly.
Well, it's good to visit. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
All right, Kelly Rankin, one of the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame inductees. I think she has, you know, I sometimes think about the best female voice.
Linda.
And there's so many great candidates. Linda's one of them. So is Bonnie Raitt.
Sure.
So is Lady Gaga.
Linda.
I believe Ann Wilson from Heart.
That's great.
Is the best female singer I've ever heard. But that's just me.
I mean, that's, yeah.
You don't have to mock me. That's great.
I didn't mock you.
That's great.
I didn't mock you. I said, that's great.
Yeah, in a condescending,
I don't think it was condescending at all.
Do you think a case can be made?
No, not really.
Really?
No, I don't.
Why?
Well, that's great. That's what you think. That's
awesome. Tell me why.
Because that's what you think.
Where's Mike Furchess when I need him?
He's always going to be on your side.
Not when he's not.
Publicly.
No,
between you and me, yeah. Publicly, he'll.
Well, I'm going to tell him you said that.
Well, I don't think he'd disagree.
Let's see what Max says. Max,
Is Max could even there?
Could you make a case for Nancy Wilson?
Oh, definitely.
I'm sorry. Ann Wilson, not Nancy. Ann
yeah,
Wilson.
I knew who you meant. Yeah, definitely. Linda might have had slightly more range, but yeah. Ann is right there.
I think you, and I'm not Ann's saying right Ann would be, I'm not saying Ann is better than Linda. I'm just saying you could make a case.
And for those who
she's
may
right there.
Not be, we're talking about Linda Ronstadt.
Well, everybody knows we're talking about.
Linda. Most people
are talking about Linda Evans.
I think
for God's
most people
sake.
Think we know.
Yeah, have a clue.
No, I'm not going to do that. Would you write a story that said just Linda, or would you name that person?
She's a one name person when it comes to female singers.
You didn't answer my question.
She's a one namer.
Do we identify people or don't we?
If I was writing a story about the great singers, the women singers, I'd say Linda's in the discussion.
No, you wouldn't. You'd
and
be fired.
So is Stevie. And you might even think about...
Now there's Beyonce.
Right. I don't think she's in the quite the...
She's a pretty good vocalist.
She's pretty good.
Mariah Carey. Although...
Mariah, you...
I don't even like talking about singers post-70s because Max thinks they all use auto-tune.
Well, Aretha.
And I want to tell Max this. There are still people on the planet who are good singers.
Why is Max so deep in your head? It's really,
first of all,
because
Rihanna,
of his musical
Rihanna's
opinion,
a better
because
singer than Beyonce.
We're here, we're good, we're good,
let
we're
him
good.
Talk.
Hold on. And then and
put
then
your
we,
headset on.
And then we get to the 70s, and then suddenly we divert, where I continue liking music, and Max stops.
No. And I would say Rihanna's a much better singer than Beyonce.
Okay, well then I'll listen
I think
to that.
You could make that case.
I'm just happy you have that opinion. I don't really care if it's right or wrong.
I mean, it's all relative. It's really, it's all subjective, right?
Right.
It's, you can't say, oh, she's definitely a better singer because it. What matters is how you hear it.
I'll let Max say that. About
say what?
I'll let him choose between 21st century singers instead of just, but they both suck. I want to hear. I like the
choice.
I think
there's some excellent singers now. Billie Eilish is great.
Okay.
There you go again, dismissing. Like you know anything about singing. I'll tell you what right now.
Want to hear some of my singing?
I'll tell you what right now. Anybody in this market is going to talk about singing as a radio guy, it should be me.
No, not really.
I'll take on the... not the world. I'll take on anybody with a daily radio show in Wichita, Kansas right now in a karaoke contest.
Okay, I'll go. Me.
I'll kill you.
Let's go.
That's a 1 versus 16.
Let's go then.
That might be a 1 versus 64.
Let's go.
Jeff, you got
Let's
no
go.
Shot.
Let's go.
You
That's
got
all I'm
no
saying.
Shot.
Let's go. Are either you're in or you're
Laughable.
Out. I'm in. So
laughable. I'm talking about the people like the Hitman.
Let's.
I'm talking about
the Hitman can't sing.
I'm talking about Ted Woodward, who's got a good voice.
Let's go.
I'll take Woodward on, and I'll mop the floor with
See,
him.
See, you won't even.
I'm talking about guys like Jack Oliver.
Either you face me or you're a coward.
I don't even look at you as a contender.
Then beat me.
You got to go through other people before
no, I
you
don't.
Get to me.
No, I don't.
I don't start off with the easy wins.
That's you just said it was what? You don't make any sense. You want to hear some of my singing?
Yeah, let's hear.
No, play it. No, I'm not going to.
Because
play.
It'll be awful.
No, it won't.
It won't be good.
Let's hear some of it. No, you broke up with him. That's good stuff. Listen to this. It's been over
2 years for me. And you actually recorded this into your phone.
Yeah, I record myself singing all the time. Can't be
with someone. Oh, God. Misty? Misty, that's not
You're
a
not
squirrel.
You're not even listening. You're not even listening.
That's
Turn
classic.
It off, please.
Classic.
we've heard enough.
You're not even listening, so I'm going to keep playing.
My dog's ears are burning.
You're not even listening.
Please stop it. all I ask is that you stop it. Max, get us out of here. This is the worst.
I'm going to keep playing it.
Exit of a radio show that's ever happened. Oh, God. Max, I'm begging you. Hit the music. And, oh, God. You're straining.
No, I'm not.
All right, there's the exit music. Thank you for listening. Oh, God. Thank you for listening today, except for listening to that. I apologize. We'll be back. Good guy. Is there a flock of seagulls? We'll be back.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!